You guys doing good? You guys doing good? I'm not gonna lie. I'm not hyper this morning. It's been a really, really exciting week for me. Hi, Maddie. Wednesday, April 2nd marked exactly 1 month until I'm hopefully looking at my new baby boy. Yeah. Crazy. My wife's just an all-star. She's had an incredible pregnancy, and we're just like we've got the bare essentials. We got the crib, we've got the changing table. Like those two things. Once you got those two things, you're really good, right? And so like we got the bare essentials. We got a little bit more than that. She just had her shower yesterday, so it was like free stuff. And so like it's go time. It is go time for us, and when we first found out, I was like, obviously so pumped and excited, but like a ton of nerves, a ton of like nervousness, like, whoa, I'm going to be a dad. Okay. And now I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to be a dad. Let's do this. And he's a boy, right? So this means especially special for me because like I can't wait to teach him how to do things. If he wants to play the greatest sport known to mankind, then yes, let's teach him baseball, okay? I'm teaching him baseball right away. Love this crowd. And if he wants to play the guitar, like, okay, yes, let's play the guitar. If you don't want to do either of those things and you want to just paint? Yes, I'm terrible, so I'll find someone who can paint and teach you how to paint. And like obviously these things when he gets older I'm pumped about, but even these next couple months when I'm literally staring at a human being, it's got a little bit of me, hopefully it's got a lot of Whitney, hopefully it has very little of my grandma's feet. And I'm like, this is my child. This is my baby. Whoa! And I'm like, okay, I've got some questions. I got some things I got to figure out because I'm new at this. This is my first thing. I got a lot of questions, and I'm asking everyone. I'm asking doctors. We had like a tour of the hospital. I'm like, what's that do? What does this do? She's like, that's the bed. Okay, cool. And so I'm asking all these things, and like Whitney's sister just had a baby, a little baby nephew, and we were visiting them last weekend, and like, I was starting to get the hang of it, right? Like at first, when I first met Liam, like I was like, okay, I'm gonna hold him. And I'm like, okay, I got him. And like, if you don't hold their head right, it just flops. So you have to like position it right in the corner. By the end of it, I was just like, I'm gonna see Liam. Just like throwing, no, I'm just kidding. But I'm like, okay, I got this, right? I'm like one hand in it. I'm like, I'm right, I'm looking like cool dad right now, right? But still, So many things to learn, so many things still left to do, because I don't know about all of these fun little facts. Like, yeah, if you don't burp them every single time when they eat, that's bad news. Last night we were at Bye Bye Baby, this really awesome baby store, and Winnie's like, yeah, we need more burp cloths. So I'm like, why? Why do we need more? So, well, you know, okay. So I'm like, okay, I got this. I can do this dad thing. And this idea of having so many questions and wanting to know more, because ultimately, why? I want to be the best dad I can be. But it reminded me when I was a Christian, and maybe it reminds you guys, when you first became a Christian, hopefully there was a ton of questions that you guys had. Hopefully there was a ton of things that you didn't know, that you wanted to know. Like, I just stepped into something crazy, life-altering. What is this life, this new life all about? I remember Point Loma summer camp. Point Loma is this college right on the coast of San Diego. And I gave my life to Christ there in eighth grade. Literally, I was looking at the beach and talking to God, and I was like, wow. And I gave my life to Christ in that moment, and I went home, right? I had that camp high that we always talk about, but it lasted a long time. It lasted for like a couple years. I was diving into the Word daily. I was carrying around this thing at school. Like, I was in junior high. I'm like, what's up? I don't even care. Like, let's talk about Jesus. And I was serving in my church, and it lasted for a really long time, but then autopilot kicked in, right? A lot of times it does. A lot of times, as a Christian, you feel like, okay, I've reached like this level. I'm like a level 3 right now, where I know enough to maybe stop reading that as much. I've done enough to where I don't feel like you know, I've kind of put in my time, right? And so I kind of coasted for a while, and I coasted in a really crucial time of my life in the middle of high school. And I think a lot of that passion I have for you guys as students is because that's where I was at. I was at your time and your place, and I kind of made some wrong moves. I wasn't thinking straight, and so if anything that I could tell you guys to encourage and challenge you as high school kids, as high school Christians, then I want to do that. And Paul's got an incredible thing to show us today. He's got an incredible thing to show us today because Paul, when he writes this letter of Philippians, he's been a Christian for 30 years. He's been a Christian for 30 years when he writes this book. And what did we read last week? He says, if you remember, I want to know Christ more. He says, I want to know Christ. He doesn't say, yeah, I've known Christ for this long, or I already know Christ, and here's what I've got to tell you guys. He says, no, I want to know Christ, which is mind-blowing to me. 2 years, then my autopilot kicked in. This guy's been a Christian for 30 years, and he writes this book, and he says, look, there's so much to learn. There is so much to learn. You will never know enough. You will never grow deep enough in your relationship with Jesus. He's got some pretty challenging things to tell us today. So if you've got your Bibles, let's go to Philippians 3. Bless you. Let's go to Philippians 3. Tanner, Kyle, and Austin, they've got Bibles. They're going to be passing those out. Like, I really want us to get in to the Word this morning. They've also got weeklies, too. You guys are going to definitely want to hold on to your weeklies. We're going to do something with those. And as we're reading this, if you guys followed the small group lesson, let's be observing everything that's on the text here as we read through. Pick out everything that you can. So open up to Philippians 3. We're gonna do verses 12, and we're going to go to the end, 12 through 21. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this, what we just talked about, or have already been made perfect. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it yet. He says, this is the one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining to what is ahead. I press forward to win the goal. To win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if at some point that you think differently, God's going to make that clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now I say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is their destruction. Their God is their stomach. Another way of just saying their appetite is sin. Their glory is in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things. But, verse 20, this is huge, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that we'll be like his glorious body. Let's pray. God, my prayer is short and sweet. And simply that you would make this page that we just read jump out at us. God, that we would view your Bible right now as not just a book, but Lord, there's something that you want to tell us this morning. It's real. It's your word. You're on these pages, God. Show us what you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was on my way to Target the other day, and I was sitting at the red light right there on like Val Vista and Warner, and parked in front of me is this Jeep. And on the back of the windshield, you guys might have seen this before, it had like the 26.2 sticker. You guys know what that's about, right? I think I've referenced this before. This guy's run a marathon, okay, is what it said. AKA, it's I'm in freakishly good shape and you're not. That's literally, he had a 26.2 sticker on the back. He had two bikes on top of his car. He had mud all over his tires. He also drove a Jeep. So right there, that automatically says, yeah, I do stuff. And so not only did he have a 26.2 sticker on the back of his windshield, he had five of them. It was probably Logan. You were probably driving. It was probably Logan, because that guy is really fast. And this guy's sitting in front of me, and I'm first off just trying to be like, yeah, big deal. Okay, you ran five marathons. Then I'm like, what have I done? I've got a 0.2 sticker on the back of my car. And the second thought I'm thinking is, man, this guy's definitely trying to prove something. He lost some race in high school track meet that he wants someone to remember. And he's got all five of his trophies of his marathons in the back, and he's driving super close on Ray Road to everyone that runs. He's like, hey, yep, pick it up. And this guy's trying to prove something to me or everyone else in Gilbert. And Paul, in this passage before that we just that we read last week, this kind of came up with the Jews. They seemed like they were trying to prove something, right? Like their whole thing is all about works and like, okay, what do you got to show? And Paul is saying, okay, let's compare resumes for a second here, right? He's got a big trophy for being the mega Jew. Of all his Jewish traditions and cultures, he's saying, okay, let's compare resumes for a second. I've got this. I was in the tribe of Benjamin. I was on the Yankees, pretty much, okay? And then I've got this here, and I've got this here, and look at my big trophy room. Want to know what that says? It says nothing. He's like, it's trash. It's rubbish. Everything here, right? This is all stuff that's going to stay here on this earth. And when I leave, when I go be with Jesus, it's staying here. I'm not bringing it with me. And you know what? It's trash compared to what I've got now. I would give anything to have Christ. He says, take all that. I don't care. I would give anything because what I have lasts. What I have is eternal. What I have is so much greater than that. He says, my relationship with Jesus and how deeply I know Jesus, it trumps anything, and I want to become like him. I want to tap into the kind of life that he gives. And what's really interesting, guys, we're going to read today, is he's got this spiritual discontentment going on. He's got this, like, disapproval of where he's at spiritually. Not like, oh, poor me. But he's got this, no, I'm not done. I'm not there yet. I got a lot of room to grow. I don't see this ending. Built into his heart and his soul is this idea we're going to learn today that should be hardwired onto our heart and our soul, is this idea of having a spiritual dissatisfaction to where you are. Wherever you're at right now spiritually, the main idea today is that we can't be okay with it. We can't be done. Go to look at verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this. This that he's referring to is just this idea of fully knowing Jesus. And I'm thinking, Paul, seriously? You wrote this. You wrote like a fourth of my Bible. And you're not there yet? Yeah, he's like, I'm not satisfied. I'm satisfied fully. I'm fully satisfied in Jesus. But like, I'm not satisfied in my pursuit of Jesus. He kind of pushes back on this idea of like this varsity level of Christianity that I think we tend to have. Right, we tend to almost like categorize Christianity into different levels, right? Like level one, like I came to know Jesus, level one. Level two, I'm plugged into a house group. Level three, I served on a mission trip. Level five, like I'm a missionary, right? Like, so like we tend to like create this like fake thing, like we're in this varsity level of Christianity. Like I've got this Christian walk figured out. And this is what it sounds like. It sounds like when you go to a church service, you go, I've heard that message before. It sounds like when we open up to Philippians, you go, yeah, I read this before, yeah. To live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, like I already knew that. It's like it's the same sermon over and over again. It's this idea of like, man, no, I know. Yeah, moving on. But here's the deal. Like this whole Bible right here is let's get one thing straight. This whole Bible is one story, and everything is one giant arrow pointing to Jesus, the cross, and the fact that we need a Savior. So if we go to a church and we're not getting some sort of a gospel message consistently, it's time to check out, because that church isn't doing it right. If we're hearing a constant gospel message over and over again, we've heard that sermon before. Yes. Exactly. So maybe there's something going on inside us. Maybe there's a heart change that needs to happen in us. Am I still growing when I've heard a message before? It's a great question. This is one of the coolest things that I get to witness. He's not here, so I'm going to brag about him and not make him feel unbelievably uncomfortable. Ryan isn't here today, right? He's not hiding? Okay. He tends to stand out. Ryan's not here today. He's kind of taking a weekend off. He's got a lot coming up. And I think one of the coolest things that I get to witness on a weekly basis is this guy live out his faith. Besides his comments that he always makes on stage that I laugh every time, or this move, right? Or this move. Like, besides those things, like, if you guys were to go to a 6 p.m. service and sit on the front left section of the main worship center, and you would sit next to Ryan, he's got his Bible out, he's got his notes out, he's taking notes, and he's locked in. And I'm thinking, in that moment, you're telling me right now, here's a guy who's never read this before. You're telling me right now, this guy has never heard this sort of a message before. And probably this is the kind of guy that could probably communicate this sort of a message in a way that, right? Like, we hear him on the weekends and we're like blown away. And you're telling me this guy's still taking notes. He still is like, no, I'm not there yet either. Like, that's our pastor. That's who we get to be. That's who our example is here in this room. And we look at the Bible and we look at Paul as our example, and ultimately his whole example is Jesus. And he's saying, yeah, you can never know him enough. It's impossible. Go down to verse 20 for a second. Go down to the verse 20. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, verse 21, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, he referred to in the previous verses as winning some sort of a prize. And I've said this before. Paul says, look, you've got a race. You're running a race. Okay, there's a finish line. There's a prize at the end of that race. But here's the deal. That finish line isn't going to be here on this earth. You cross that finish line when you're dead. He says, that finish line will never be here. He says, you are always running. And what it says in verse 21, the purpose of this is that we will be like his glorious body at the very end of it all. When we are in heaven, ultimately the prize is that we are made perfect. Our bodies, the lowly bodies that we have here, are made perfect, not just physically, but in every way. And he says, so that's the prize that we go for. That's why we're running. That's why we can't stop. Because we'll never get there here. It's a pretty easy equation. And he says, I press on. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I can't get there yet, but one thing I do, get this, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I want to stop, and I want to hang out here for a second, because there are some things in our life, some difficult times and some things we've been a part of, maybe some things we've thought about doing, maybe some things we're still thinking about doing, some stuff in our past that really, really, really make it hard to pursue God, right? Maybe there's something that we have right now going on, lingering in the back of our mind, that every time we step foot into this room, every time we step foot into a church, We try to get close to God. We even just try to just figure out something. We're reminded of this guilt, of this shame. I'm telling you right now, first off, that is not at all from God. That's from the devil, and he does not want you to get a peek at God's grace. He does not want you at all to get a glimpse of God's love and his patience for you. And so he's going to remind you of that every time you step foot, especially in a church. And the second thing is, Paul says we have to forget about that. And he's not talking about control, delete. That's gone. That's impossible, right? How badly are there things that you want to just erase from your memory, but you can't? Because, right, it's impossible. So what Paul is saying is the very same thing that it says in Hebrews 10:17. The author of Hebrews 10:17 says, God remembers your sin no more. And when that idea of remembering your sin no more is obviously not like, yeah, no, God forgot about it. No, he didn't. He's God. Right? He lives in the past, present, and future. There's literally, he's in outside of time. There's no way he can forget about anything, but he just says, no, what you did, I'm not holding that against you anymore. That guilt, the thing that you did, that thing that you thought about doing, that's not affecting your standing with me. Here's another thing to think about. I don't think this is just talking about the good things or the bad things. I think this is potentially talking about some of those good things, those spiritual highs, right? That camp, that bell that we rang 3 years ago. You guys were at summer camp last summer. He's talking about that mission trip that you went on, those things that you feel like you've done where you kind of just, you're like, yeah, I've got these things, and so my pursuit of Jesus isn't as exciting anymore. My wanting to know more about him isn't as exciting anymore because I already know a bunch. Paul's saying you got to forget those too. And here's the deal. I don't think he's speaking very metaphorically here for a second. I think he is speaking very, very personally. If you know anything about Paul, if you're new here today, this same guy who wrote this book, who's a Christian, 30 years ago, watched and smiled as this guy named Stephen got pelted to death with stones, and he said, hold on, no, let's speed this up. Let's make this go a little bit quicker. You need to throw harder. Give me your jackets. Come on. Yeah, now you can really chuck it. That same guy, you're telling me right now, he's not got some baggage that he's bringing to the table, and he's writing, look, I've been there. I know my past life, and he's saying, look, I forget that. As hard as it is, I understand that Christ took that guilt. And at the same time, he just says, look, I know who I am. I know I'm the greatest missionary probably in the world right now. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly the type of influence that he is. And he's saying, yeah, I forget that too. I'm just doing my thing. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I press on. Press on because there's a prize and it's not going to be here on this earth. I strive to what's ahead. Go to the right, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy, go to chapter 4. This word, I press on and I strive ahead, comes up in this book, and it's really interesting what he says. If you're there, 1 Timothy 4, go to verse 7, and we're going to go to 10. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has a value for all things, and holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Verse 9, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and we strive that we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. We labor and we strive. It says we train ourselves to be godly. The same word, train, is where we get the Greek word gymnopsium. What do you think our word is that we have from gymnopsium? Gymnasium. You were here yesterday. You cheated. It literally means to sweat. Okay? It literally means to sweat. Do any of you guys have a friend or someone in your life that you know that just sweats when they eat, like, Taco Bell? Like, they just sweat. Caden, you play golf. Yeah, not too much physical activity going on there, right? So, no, hey, hold on. I'm golf too. Me and you, man, we still got to play. But there is this person that we probably all know that just sweats. I had this workout partner in college, right? And he'd be done on the bench press, and he'd go, all right, bro, you're up. And I have to, like, literally lay down on his sweat. And then as he's standing over me going, oh, go, go, he's sweating all over my face. So I'm, like, dodging his sweat bullets and trying to bench. And he's saying, he had a great point, though, and he's, like, yelling this at me in the gym. I'm like, this is embarrassing. He's like, if you're not sweating, you're not working hard enough. I'm like, shut up. And so he's sweating profusely, but he gets this concept. He's like, if you're not sweating, you're not working hard enough, right? Any athletes in the room, you understand this, right? The same word, to train to be godly, literally means to sweat to be godly. It's really interesting because it's saying, no, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes hard work, right? We're not just going to wake up tomorrow godly. We're gonna have to work for it. But hold on. I want to push back on this idea just for a second that we can create some sort of a moral outline as a Christian, that we do these things, if right? Like, train to be godly, you said it. So if we do these things, we create this moral outline without any sort of an attitude or a purpose behind it. The only problem is that we'll get there. And then all we're left with is pride and self-righteousness, and then there's no more need for Jesus because we got there. It's more than just doing things. Above all else, it's this humble attitude, this place before God that we understand that I won't get there. I won't ever know you enough. I won't ever grow deep enough. And it's truly having this sort of a heart and mind that this is how I'm to live, and I'm never going to spiritually arrive. I never will. And I don't want this to at all be a guilt check. I want this to be a reality check for everyone here, including myself, because I desperately want to be the Philippians 3 kind of Christian that Paul's telling me to be, but I'm looking at his resume, and I'm looking at the way he thinks, and even in chapter 4, the way he thinks, and I'm going, man, this guy's solid. I'm nowhere near that. This guy's solid. The moment I think I've spiritually arrived, Jesus reminds me, no, you're not. No, you're not. And if you've been following along at all in this passage, you notice chapter 15 gave us a really, really, really practical application. It says, all of us who are mature should take a view of these things. Super practical application number one for us this morning is, okay, is this how I think? All of us who are mature should take a view of these things. And it says, if some of you think differently, God's just going to make that clear to you. So is this how we think? Is this how our mind works? Do we feel like we're done? We feel like we're good? I know enough. I've heard this sermon before. Are you thinking this way? Like, no, I can't be done. I'm not done. No way. And if you've been following along in this series that we're doing, you guys, we've been getting this invitation not to just get your feet wet as a Christian. I'm gonna try and paint a picture this way. See if you're tracking with me. Did anyone go to the beach at all this year over spring break? Anyone? That's it? Really? Wow. Okay. Who's been to the beach before? Every hand, please. Okay. One more question for you guys. Are any of you guys the ones that just put your towel down and then you just, like, 30 miles an hour straight into the wave. Love it. Wow. Good for you. And you guys, more like me, you've been an Arizona boy your whole life, and so you're used to like 94 degree pools, and so you touch the water and it's like it hurts because it's so cold. So you kind of just you do this move for a while. I'll be in a sec. Yeah, hold on. There's a jellyfish right there, just trying to waiting for it to get out of the way. And then you just creep a little bit closer, starting to feel a lot better. Get up to your knees. Hold on. Hold on. And guys, this next part's really hard for us. Okay, I'm good. All right, Conan now. Sorry, that was too far. And then we're in. Well, we're good. And so, like, if you guys, we just take a time, right, getting into the ocean because it's freezing, it's cold, and it's uncomfortable. But some of you guys, you just like, no, I know the best way to get in. That is a freezing ocean. So I'm just rolling, I'm going straight in, and I'm diving in, and once we're swimming, right, like, our body just takes care of the rest, and it's like, perfect. It's the best way to get in the ocean. Jesus is saying, one of the best way to dive into this Christian faith, he says, dive in. Don't just get your feet wet. It's not going to be the most comfortable life. It's not going to be the easiest life, but it's the best way to live. And he says, I want you to dive straight in. And it's a lot. It's a hard thing to do, and it's a lot easier thing to say, right? And I'll end with this. Because this is the way that Jesus invites us to live, that we can never stop pursuing him. We can never stop running this race. But here's the deal. There are some things in our past, right? There's some things in our past, like I mentioned earlier, that's going to hinder our pursuit of Jesus. That makes it very difficult for us to approach him because we feel like we're bringing in whatever we've got. Good or bad, we feel like maybe that thing that you did for me, Jesus, 3 years ago, I've been living off of that for the past 3 years. I'm going to invite the band up. We're going to close on one last song. And if you guys have your weekly, can you just flip it over for a second? This is what we're going to do. As we close service today, I want to give you guys a chance to do this, to not allow our past to affect right now, because the truth is we're not very good at that. I'm not very good at that at all. I really wish I had a better short-term memory when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so here's an opportunity for you guys to do something. There's pens around you. As the band begins to play into this first song, please be with me. Have this time really to yourself. On the bottom, there's a line that says, what do I need to forget behind me in order to strive ahead? What are the things in my past, the guilt, maybe the past life that I really wish didn't exist, that I really just need to give up to the Lord, and I need to choose to, Paul says, forget about that and not let that affect right now in my pursuit of Christ. And maybe what's something I need to forget because I'm living off of something that Jesus did for me 3 years ago. I'm still kind of living off of this facade, this varsity level Christianity that I feel like I'm in right now, and that I just know it can't exist. So take some time right now to focus on that and figure out, man, how can I be the best type of Philippians 3 Christian that I need to be? And when you're done, we're going to sing one more song and then we'll be out.